be happy.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and I thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. On today's show, we are going to continue our discussion on mood disorders. Last week, we spoke about dysthymic disorder, and today I'm going to talk about major depressive disorder. We talked about all the different ways in which depression manifests itself, and I want to talk a little bit more today about really getting whacked in the head with a bout of depression and why that happens and how we can combat it and how we feel about it. One of the issues about mental health disorder is that people not only sort of have to live with the mental health malady that they're dealing with, but they also then feel bad about themselves for having a mental health issue as if it's a character issue and not a mental health problem. Being depressed, having dysthymia, having bipolar disorder, having an anxiety disorder isn't a character trait. Doesn't speak to you being a good person or a bad person. It speaks to you having some neurology that's off that causes depression. It speaks to you not perhaps having been taught the skills to learn how to manage some of the things one needs to manage in the world. It speaks to perhaps a lifetime of negative things that have happened to you and your response to it. But it doesn't speak to your character. So I like to say to people, you know what? It's bad enough you have to deal with depression. You don't have to deal with beating yourself up for having depression. Last week, I said that this was your life and not a dress rehearsal. And if you remember correctly, there was that lovely person who had written to me and said, please remind people of that every week. So I'm doing it again. This is your life. It is not a dress rehearsal. You can make your life be the life you want to live. Even if you are managing a mental illness, even if you are dealing with a chronic state of depression, even if you have what we're going to talk about today, which is major depressive disorder, It really can be addressed, and you really can begin to feel better. This is Gail Moskowitz. It's Mental Health Matters, 97.3 FM, WRIRLP. We come to you every Thursday afternoon at 1. And on Mental Health Matters, I like to highlight a mental health issue, either with a guest or without a guest, and talk about that issue, and then you, the audience, can call. Call if you have questions. Call if you have a response to what we're talking about, if you want to weigh in on the subject, or, you know, even if you have thoughts about what you'd like us to do on another show. So the number at which to call me today, and we're going to talk about major depressive disorder, is 649-9737, 649-9737. If you'd like to listen to us on the radio, which, as I just said, is 97.3 FM, that's great. But you can also log into WRIR's website, www.wrir.org, and listen to us in real time streaming from the computer. And that's actually a good way to catch the program if you can't hear it clearly from your radio where you are. Or tonight, you can get on my website by getting to WRIR's website and listen to the show as it will be archived, and you can access that through my website. So I'm going to take a question that somebody had written to me, but first I want to say this. This week, I spoke to several clients, and I asked them to describe in one word what it felt like to be overcome by depression. One woman that I have been working with for many, many years says, it's like the lights go out. Another person said to me, it was like walking through molasses. Another person said, it's a feeling of being numb. And I've also heard it described as being sucked up into a black hole, a vortex that one just cannot seem to escape from. So the question that I got on my email this week is so important. The question was from a young man who says to me that he is not a pessimistic person. In fact, he sees himself as an optimistic person. He says his life is not going poorly. He's in graduate school. He has a good job that will become even a better job once he finishes graduate school. That while he doesn't have a really steady significant other, he has a lovely girlfriend. He says he's never really had problems making and maintaining relationships with women. His mother's passed away. He has a decent relationship with his father and his two brothers. He says, I have no reason to feel what I feel, but I am depressed. He says he cries pretty frequently. He has to remind himself that he's a good person pretty frequently. He tells me that he doesn't understand why these feelings come over him and that it almost takes his breath away when he's feeling those things. He wakes up every morning and has to get himself out of bed. And he doesn't understand why people would want to seek him out in friendship because he feels so terrible about himself. Yet, he says, he's pretty sure that nobody would ever think that he's depressed because he puts on such a good show. So he says to me in this letter, why am I depressed? I have no reason to be depressed, and I don't have an outlook on life that is depressing. So that is a great question. And I don't know anything about this young man. I don't know if he had some trauma in his background. I don't know if he has a family history of depression. And those are the questions I would have to ask him in making an assessment. But what I am saying to everybody is that we are all vulnerable for these very black moods. We're vulnerable because we may not know what kind of neurological predisposition we might have to feeling depressed. We might not know how certain things in our lives have affected us, and perhaps something going on in our life currently may trigger a feeling of depression. And it might just even be out of our mindset to understand how those events might have an effect on us now. We might not know what the neurology is of past family members and that we might be neurologically predisposed and vulnerable to depression. Here's the good news. Depression is treatable. And depression is a lot more treatable today in 2010 than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. The medications that one can take to treat one's depression are so much more efficacious now than they were many years ago. The medications actually can help people with depression to manage all their negative thinking, and that's a big, big problem with depression. So I say to this gentleman who wrote me this letter, and I do hope that you understand this. You do not have to suffer with these feelings. You do not have to feel as if you've done something wrong, that you are not a good person. This is not, as I said, and I really want to say this clearly, this is not a character issue. This is a mental illness. And you do not have to hide the fact that you are depressed. Depression is something that festers, and I mean festers if you become isolated. Depression festers in isolation. Because if you isolate yourself and you don't talk to people, like this young man talked about, his not knowing how to, he says that he doesn't know how to talk about, that the people in his life wouldn't know that he's depressed. So that's really, you know, something to really think about. The people in his life wouldn't know he was depressed because he fakes it, because he walks around feeling like he has to pretend that he's a happy, happy person or an optimistic person. And he might be all those things, an optimistic person and all those other things. But if you're keeping your thoughts to yourself because you feel so bad about having depression, then nobody can help you to shift from that very negative place. Nobody can help you to look at it in another way. And one of the things that's really interesting to think about is that depression is a mood disorder. It's a mood disorder. You literally feel depressed. You literally feel down and sad and stuck and you know, like the black hole or the lights go out. Actually, you can physically feel those things. You physically can feel tired. You physically can feel sick. That's how strong being depressed can be. And then if you don't talk about those things, then you don't bounce off of other people your ideas and your thinking, because depression's not just a mood projection. Depression isn't just a feeling. Depression is a cognition. It's a thought issue. So not only do you feel bad, but you also think negative things about yourself and the world. You see negative things in other people. You see yourself as being less good than other people. You see the negative in other people. You feel a sense, you have a hard time thinking through the things that are bothering you, and then solving that and moving on. And you cannot underestimate how, and this is really important, you cannot underestimate how important it is to talk back to all those negative thoughts. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Let me just sort of go through a little bit of what you might feel when you're depressed. You know, we all go through ups and downs in our moods. And as I said last week, sadness is a normal reaction to life struggles, to our setbacks, our disappointments. And so we could feel blue. But when you're talking to somebody who says that they feel like they're living in a black hole or the lights have gone out, then and they feel a constant sense of an impending doom, they feel like they have no energy, they feel apathy, they feel empty, they feel lifeless, they might lose their appetite, they might they actually might eat more, they don't have joy in their life, they can't sleep, or they sleep too much, they can't concentrate, they find things that they used to do very easily, very difficult to do. Helpless and hopeless. Those are the two words that come up the most when you talk to people who are depressed. And you cannot control your negative thoughts, no matter how much you try. You cannot seem to deal with your irritability. You're more short-tempered than usual. And you might even, you know, think that life isn't worth living. And that was one of the things that the gentleman in the letter said to me, is that he struggles with thoughts of suicide all the time, although he said that he did not ever believe that he would be able to, that he would ever do that. And that's not unusual for somebody to struggle with depression often and to think about suicide. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about suicide, to think about suicide almost as an option, but not ever seriously think that one can go through it. I just wanted to say that this is Gail Moskowitz. I am, you're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we are talking today about major depression, about major depressive disorder. And if you would like to talk to me today about depression, have any questions, if you have any thoughts, please feel free to call me, 649-9737. 649-9737. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, 97.3 FM. So if you go and look at what happens when we have a blue mood, that's very different than feeling as if your life has been sucked up into this black hole. Depression is felt very differently from one person to another. The things that I just talked about are things that one person might feel and another not. I treated this woman years ago who her way of managing her chronic depression was never to sit still. She was constantly doing something. And it wasn't until I got her to sit with herself and to stop doing that she really began to be overcome by her depression. And her move was to get back into getting really busy. But it wasn't until she really stopped that she could confront the things that were underlying her depression, which we're going to talk about in a minute, the things that underlie depression. So let me just recap. Feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, a loss of interest in daily activities, a loss of appetite or a bump in appetite, sleep changes. Sometimes depressed people can't sleep because of all the negative thoughts they're having, and sometimes they cannot pull themselves out of bed. Irritability or restlessness, a loss of energy, and another really strong piece of it is this self-loathing, feelings of absolute worthlessness, feelings of guilt, criticizing yourself for nuances in your life, the little faults, the little things you do wrong, and it's hard to stop the thinking. And again, as I said before, it's a physical thing. You can feel aches and pains. You literally can feel depression. So, what causes depression? Well, let me separate the two things that cause depression. Some people are neurologically predisposed to depression. If you interview people with depression, what you might find out is that they have a parent that's depressed or a close family member, and that it's not uncommon to have several people, even in their immediate family, all who struggle with depression. So one can be predisposed to depression. Another way that people become depressed is that they're going along in their life and things are kind of, you know, fine. They have the skills to manage what's going on. I always think of this young man that I knew him in high school, and he had to have been the cockiest human being on the face of the earth. And there was something, you know, about this young man that just he's not a young man anymore because he's my age and we're not young anymore, but this is a long time ago. He was so cocky. Everything always came to him. He got into the honors college of the school he wanted to go to. He was adored by women. Everything always went his way. And in his senior year of college, while he did very, very well in school, he applied only to high-end law schools. And guess what? He didn't get in because it's really competitive to get into high-end law schools. And all those kids whose lives were always academically perfect are all trying to get in. And for whatever that year, he didn't get into law school. And his girlfriend broke up with him. And he literally, for the first time in his life, had to manage a barrage of negative feelings that he did not have the skills to manage. And the reason I even bumped into him that summer is because he was where he had come to stay with his brother, who went to the same school as I did, to the same college. And I was in my senior year and on my way up to Richmond to start graduate school. But I was around that summer. And I started hanging out with him that summer because, you know, because I was one of those people who, you know, life didn't come perfectly to. So I had good skills to manage the cruddy things that go on in life because cruddy things went on in my life, just like most of our lives. But there are some people who didn't manage to get the skills to deal with some of the deeper things that go on in life. And he sort of cleaved on to me that summer. We spent a lot of time together, and he spent a lot of time talking about his pain and his sadness and his confusion. And then he managed to pull himself together, get accepted to a different law school, even that summer. And I'm telling you the honest truth, I've never spoken to the guy since, and I've probably spent every day with him that summer, very platonically, but nonetheless, I just think it's funny. He literally became so depressed that summer that he actually contemplated hurting himself, which is just unbelievable. That's one of the ways in which depression comes out at us, that literally our life and the negative things that are going on in our life get bigger than our competencies to deal with those things. So what might those things be? Well, you know, maybe a terrible loss. I for one, and I'll just, you know, say this, when I was 26 years old, my father passed away. Now, that's sort of a shocking thing. I mean, he was alive one day, he had a heart attack, he was in the hospital for one day, and the next day he died. It was shocking. I did not have a lot of friends who had lost their parents, and the feeling one gets when one loses a parent or has that kind of loss, most of us know what that feels like. It's sickening. It was really, really, really hard and really sad. I can't say I became depressed, but I can say I spent the year mourning, which is a whole other feeling that, I mean, sat in my gut for probably a whole year, you know, dealing with it little by little by little. But what if that death really hits somebody who doesn't have the skills to manage that death? What if somebody has so many losses all at once that they can't deal with the barrage of feelings that come up from all of those losses all at once? That's a very difficult thing for people, and that could cause them to become depressed. So loss causes people to become depressed. The having problems in your life that are bigger than the skills to manage those problems, that could cause you to become depressed. Having the predisposed neurology could cause one to become depressed and not even have anything depressing going on in their lives, and it could cause depression. And then the last thing is that somebody could have very difficult life. Somebody could have grown up with a lot of abuse, have managed trauma, have lived through perhaps war or physical or sexual abuse in their home, or verbal and emotional abuse in their home, or very, very, very abusive leaders in their life, like teachers who were unkind, or something that caused sustained trauma as one grows up, that can cause depression. And believe it or not, the research now is pointing to people who live with chronic trauma in their lives. Their neurology literally shifts, that the hormones that are emitted into their system vis-a-vis this kind of trauma, where there's a surge of hormone emitted and then a dearth of hormone, that these things can actually change brain chemistry and can set a person up for chronic depression. And that's a very, very difficult and sad situation to deal with. Now, all right, I said all of that, Let me give you the good news. Depression is treatable. Don't suffer in isolation. If you are feeling so sad on a regular, constant basis, going on for more than a month, there is no reason for you to avoid going to talk to a mental health provider. Perhaps one, you can just make contact with somebody, and then they can begin to help you think about the depression differently, perhaps get you to stop feeling so bad about yourself for having depression, or just talk about some of the things that you may not even realize are depressing you, and you might very easily be able to manage this situation by just touching on to a mental health provider. If your depression has gone on in a more chronic way, then perhaps somebody, a mental health provider, could help you to see how things that happened in your life a long time ago, even if you're saying to yourself, well, gosh, that happened 20 years ago. Why would I be depressed about it now? It's important to look at how we got to where we are. And there might be a lot of things that are impinging on your mental health that you don't even realize can harm you in that way. And a mental health provider can help you look at those things. Perhaps a little bit of medication might do to really just bump you out of that slump and help you to create more positive thinking. Perhaps a mental health provider can help you learn about cognitive behavioral therapy to help you change the thinking, manage the anxiety, and feel better. And that's something that they might be able to help you do. Perhaps they can offer you some reading to do that will be helpful. And I am actually going to list some reading on my website that you might be able to do that would be a little bit helpful. And also, let me just say this one little piece, which is that men and women can feel depression a little differently, manifest depression a little bit differently, act depression out a little bit differently. And that might not even look like depression for men, the same as it does for women. And we can talk about that another time. So all these things, it might be a little thing and the therapist can help you. It might be something that you're missing that's deep inside of you that they might be able to help you come to grips with. They might be able to help you rethink through depression and be able to give it different thinking power so you can get yourself out of all that negative, those negative cognitions. You might need a little medication, and that would be helpful, but there is no reason for you to suffer in a vacuum. Depression is treatable, and it is treatable for almost everybody. Even if it is a chronic problem in your life, depression can still be treatable. It may not ever abate and go away forever, but you can certainly make it better. You do not have to suffer alone. I know that this is not exactly the most uplifting topic, but it's something that so many people struggle with that I wanted to highlight it this week. Next week, we're going to shift completely. We're going to talk about supported employment, and Pam Hinterlong is going to come and talk to us about supported employment for the mentally ill. The week after that is Thanksgiving, and then the following week, Dr. Wendy Klein is going to come and talk about the ups and downs of menopause. I think that'll be a fascinating topic. Dr. Klein is a national expert in issues around menopause. So I hope that you'll tune in next week for Mental Health Matters. Look on my website if you would like to get, by tonight, I'll have it posted by tonight, if you would like to get some information, further information about depression. The National Institute of Mental Health has unbelievable amounts of helpful information. For now, this is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and I hope you'll tune in next Thursday at 1.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.